Paul. Paul, it is finished.
Ah, Tertius. I hoped to see you soon. How is Sarah and the kids? Selah and Asa, right?
They're doing very well, thank you.
Ah, I take it you've completed the letter.
Yes, I took your dictation, the rough draft, and wrote it out just like you asked. I thought you might want to look it over one more time before we send it to Philippi.
Ah, yes. Yes, and thank you for your labors. I am sure the church in Philippi is going to be greatly strengthened and encouraged by these words. Thank you, my brother.
You're welcome.
I love this ancient technology. You can scroll forward, you can scroll backward. I am sure future peoples will still be using this same technology. Oh, the letter to the Philippians. I can't wait to send it. And there's so much in my heart for them. I hope I can express it clearly and accurately. It would sure help to be able to actually read this to an audience before sending it to the Philippians. If only I had some visitors in prison today that I could share this with. Oh. Oh my. Well, look at you all. Thank you for coming to visit me in prison today. Thank you. My. Well, this must have been arranged by you, Holy Spirit. Thank you. This house arrest in Rome is sure working out. Especially in this huge house. Welcome, and thank you for coming. Ah, Philip! How is the evangelism ministry going?
It's going great.
Oh, good. Right, and yes. I hear you've become a pastor.
Yes, I
have. Oh,
yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Well, God encourage you, my brother.
Thank you. Thank you. 37 years now.
Whoa. We're getting old.
Yes, we are.
Curtissimo! Oh, my brother! Oh, and how are the kids, Nathan and Miranda?
Oh,
they're doing missions in Dalmatia, right?
Yes, yes.
Oh, thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you for visiting today. Oh, boy. My heart is so full. It is so full. What an encouragement that you're all here. Well, are you all willing to listen to this draft of my letter to the Philippians? Well, then let's begin. Greetings, Philippians, from Paul and Timothy. I thank my God every time I remember you. Thank you, Lord, all for my loved ones in Philippi. Thank you. He who began a good work in you, he will complete it. He will be faithful to complete every part of it in the day of Christ. I hold you in my heart. And I want you to know that this imprisonment is working out for the good of the gospel. All of those in the Imperial Guard and beyond know that I am in here for my faith in Christ. And the gospel is being preached. Some are doing it because they're emboldened by my imprisonment. And some are doing it out of rivalry. But one way or the other, the gospel is being preached. And in that, I rejoice. As to the outcome of this imprisonment for me personally, I trust that as before, through courage, I will be able to have Christ honored in my body, whether through life or through death. For to live is Christ, and to die is gain. I am really hard pressed between the two, not knowing which one to choose. For me personally, it would be far better to go and be with the Lord. But if I remain here, well, that means fruitful labor, which helps you. Since that is the option that is best for you, I am confident that is the way things will go. In light of this, be of one mind and don't fear the enemy. For in the face of the enemy, with a lack of fear, it will be a clear sign to them of their destruction and of your salvation. It has been granted to you and to me that for the sake of Christ, we should not only believe in Him, but suffer for His sake. So, if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort in love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection. Oh, I see a little affection here. Very nice. Keep it going. All of your days. And sympathy. Then complete my joy and be of one mind. Be of one mind. In case I wasn't clear, be of one mind. Don't be conceited. Don't be competitive. Consider the other person better than yourself. And don't be concerned only with your own interests, but also with the interests of others. Have this attitude among you, which you have in Christ Jesus, who, being God, didn't consider that something to be grasped and clung to. He humbled himself and he became a man. And he took it much further. He became obedient unto death. Amen. And not just any death. Death on a cross. Because of this, God has highly exalted him and has given him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every knee in heaven, every knee on earth, and every knee under the earth. That is an interesting thought to ponder. Because of this, in light of the power of this reality, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God Himself who is working in you, both to will and to work of His good pleasure. Do all things without grumbling. And do all things without disputing. Okay? Okay. Be innocent, blameless, children of God, without blemish. For we live in the midst of a twisted and crooked generation, among whom you shine as lights. Hold firmly to the word of life. Then I won't be ashamed on that day, knowing that I did not run in vain, nor labor in vain. And even if I am about to be poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrificial offering of your faith, I rejoice in this with all of you. And all of you should rejoice in this with me. A couple practical things. I really want to send Timothy to you. Why? Because I want to be cheered when he returns to me with a glowing report of how well you are doing. For I have nobody else like him who will be generally concerned for your welfare. Timothy, please stand. Yeah. For others, they seek their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But Timothy has been by my side, like my son, laboring alongside me for the gospel. So, just as soon as I can figure out which way things are going to go here, whether I will be released or face execution, I will send him. And my confident expectancy is that soon after I send him, they'll release me. And I'll be right behind him, coming to visit you myself. It's time for me to send Epaphroditus back to you. He has been longing for you. He was distressed because you heard he had been sick. He was sick. In fact, he almost died. But God had mercy on him and on me too. Because his death would have heaped sorrow upon sorrow for me. So receive him as the good man that he is. For he risked his life almost to the point of death to make up for that which was lacking in your ministry to me. Rejoice in the Lord. Yes. I will say it again. Rejoice. That is, take delight in his presence. Enjoy your communion with him. I realize I'm repeating myself, and you know what? It doesn't bother me a bit. And it's safe for you. Beware the dogs. Beware the evildoers. Beware the circumcision. For we are the circumcision who worship God by the Spirit and glory in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Personally, I have a lot of reasons to claim confidence in the flesh. I'm loaded with credentials. Good works, awards, honors, achievements, status, accomplishments. If any of you are thinking you should fare pretty well in a bragging game, let me assure you, I'll one-up you any time. Any takers? Let's take a look at this. I was circumcised on the eighth day. How about you? I'm of the tribe of Benjamin, of the people of Israel. I'm a Hebrew of Hebrews. You want to talk the law? I was a Pharisee. You want to talk zeal? I was so zealous, I was persecuting the church. You want to talk righteousness under the law? One word, blameless. But I took all of that. I took all of it. and I set it behind me. I called it a big zero. Why? For the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. And I took it a step further, not just a zero. I counted it all as rubbish. Good for nothing but to be thrown out with the trash. I did this. I did all of this so that I might be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God, that depends on Him. Why? That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection, that I may share in His sufferings and become like Him in His death, in order that by any means I may attain the resurrection. I am not saying that I have already fully achieved this. I am not saying that I've already attained this, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me His own. Thank you, Lord. I am not already perfect, but this one thing I do. Hear me on this. Take this to heart, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. I press on for the goal of the prize of the upward call in Christ Jesus. And I think any who are mature in Christ should think the same way. If any of you think otherwise, God will reveal that to you. Let each of us hold tightly to the revelation that we have received. For there are many, and I've told you about them before, and I tell you about them now with tears. There are many who walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction. Their God is their belly. They glory in their shame, and their minds are set on earthly things. What a waste. But by contrast, our minds have something so much better upon which to be set. Our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, Christ Jesus, who will transform our lowly bodies to be like His glorious one. Oh, what a day. I can't wait. And how will He do this? By the power whereby He is able to subject all things to Himself. What an incredible, fearsome power that must be. Keeping this all in mind, I know it's a lot of words, but please hear my heart. Stand strong in the faith, my beloved and longed for Philippians. Stand firm. And hold fast. Don't give up. For you are my joy and my crown. Well, to make this a little more real, ladies, could you stand up, please? Now I ask you, friend Euodia, and friend Syntyche, to get along and cooperate with each other. And you,
yeah,
true companion, help these two women.
I'm trying.
Help them to keep working together.
All right, tomorrow we're going to kill out it again.
For they have been right there at my side in the struggle for the faith, along with all of you other fellow workers whose names are written in the book of life.
Hallelujah.
Rejoice in the Lord always.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Woo. Yes. I'll say it again. Rejoice. Be known to everybody as moderate people, as ones who are approachable, reasonable, calm, gentle, not reactive, not always flying off at the handle, not excitable, non-argumentative. Be accepting in your interaction with others. Don't go around anxious and worried. Instead, in every circumstance and in every situation, in every one of them, let your specific requests be made known to God. And keep on doing this. If you do this, the peace of God will which reassures your heart and transcends all human understanding, will stand guard over your heart and over your mind. Last, here are some things upon which to set your minds. Here are 8 things. Whatever things are true, that which is truth, think about these things continually. Center your mind on them. Imprint them on your heart. Amen. Do the same for whatsoever things are honorable. And likewise, whatsoever things are just and right. Do the same with whatever is pure. And whatsoever things are lovely. And whatsoever things are of good report, spoken well of, and have a good reputation. Does he have a good reputation?
Yes, very
much so. I agree. Do likewise with whatever things have virtue. And with those things which are worthy of praise. I have given you 8 areas. Things to think about continually, to center your mind on, to imprint on your heart. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do them. And the God of peace and well-being will be with you. A word about the gift that you sent. I know your hearts have been with me all along. And I knew when I was with you that you just couldn't come up with the money at that time. It really made me happy to get this gift. Happy especially for your sakes, not necessarily because of my need for it. I know how to thrive with a lot or with a little. Whether things are going great or horrible. I have learned to be content. Because I can do all things through Christ who is in me, strengthening me. Again, thank you for the gift. I am well supplied. And remember that God Himself will also supply every need of yours, according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus. And to Him be glory forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, thus endeth the scripture reading for today. Our next rendition will be Tom Sawyer and Huck Finn. The word is powerful. Word is powerful. So what this was this morning was a contextual introduction to three more messages that I'll be doing this summer. The Lord's put on my heart to do a message series out of Philippians 4. And it'll be a series on a framework for mental health. You know, this is something that's kind of risen in focus in our culture and society. The importance of this. God, in His wisdom and through His word, has given us such hope, such truth and wisdom to cling to and hold on to. So that's what we'll be rehearsing during these three messages. So next week, I'm going to talk about the first two frameworks out of four, two frameworks for mental health. The first one will be joy, and I'll also talk about an alternative to worry. And then that'll be next week, July 1st. And July 8th, Pastor John actually has a message on the life of Paul that he's going to do through 2 Corinthians. It'll be great. And then July 15th, I'll continue with a message on what do you think? And then August 5th, I'll conclude with a message on contentment. All out of Philippians 4. I realized I couldn't do this series on Philippians 4 without giving the context for the entire book of Philippians. It's quite a context. The Holy Spirit planted today's experience on my heart, actually, as I was coming back from a retreat with my wife, and she spoke just from her heart most all of these words. Today was actually co-written by my wife and I. She wrote 90%, I wrote 10. She spoke it from her heart, not from a page, because she's internalized these words over the last couple years. They're very meaningful and personal to her. And as she shared them with me, and I don't know why the Holy Spirit does what He does, He goes, that should be shared with the congregation as a first-person message, dressed up. And He kind of gave me this idea on the spot there. And then I was scared, of course, and all that. But God is good, and it's His Word, and there's power in His Word. And it's that power that we will experience during these three messages that we'll do on a framework for mental health. You know what? I think the reason that God had my wife internalizing this message is she lives with me. And God knows that she needs mental health, having to endure that. So it's working so far. She still smiles and she's really looking good. So anyway, thank you, Lord. His word works. If there's anybody here this morning that would like prayer, and prayer is powerful, and our God hears, and we know He sympathizes and can relate, right? So there'll be people up here that would love to pray with you. Just come up. Receive prayer. Receive the power of joining hands together. Let God do what He wants to do. And if the Holy Spirit has spoken something to your heart through the Word, please respond to that, whether in your chair or at the altar. Our altars are open. They're always open. So, Let's rejoice. Always. Let's rejoice. I know I'm repeating myself, but I don't give a whit. It's a sunny day on the Palouse. Let's rejoice in Him and enjoy it, regardless of what you're doing. God bless. Let's go.